What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week, we are continuing on with our childhood trauma theme. And this is your first pick of the theme. And you chose Little Nemo Adventures in Slumberland. From
Yes.
1989 or 1992, depending on which part of the world you live in.
Yep.
I had never heard of this one. So whenever you suggested it, I was like, what the fuck is that? But this is one that you watched often as a kid, or like, was it a one and
I
done kind of thing?
think it's like a one and done thing. It just kind of stuck with me.
Upon watching it, I think I did recognize some of the characters. Like Flip kind of looked familiar to me. So I don't know if I did actually watch it as a kid or if it was just like I've seen clips online maybe or something. I don't know. You're a sleepy boy.
I know. Yeah, this is a Japanese American movie.
It took like a decade for it to just release in America,
Took a
like
while.
from start to finish, right?
Yeah, so yeah, it's based off a comic strip that ran from 1905 to 1927.
Which is wild.
Yeah, I know, right?
But yeah, it premiered in Japan in 1989, and then it didn't come to America until 92. And like there's a whole bunch of different issues that came with it, and like they're trying to cater to both Japanese and American audiences, so that's why it took so long. They had to bring in like different writers and different directors, and it's kind of crazy how much effort went into this movie.
And you can tell like the Japanese, like they did all the animation and stuff like that, and then the Americans did like the voice work and stuff.
Yeah, because the animation's very like Studio Ghibli. But then the audio, I was like, it doesn't even look like it's been dubbed. It doesn't sound like it's been dubbed. Like it seems like the audio is what it was originally intended as. But I'm assuming that there is a Japanese version of the movie.
And funny you talk about Studio Ghibli. Miyazaki worked on the early development of this.
Right, yeah, he did. I did see his name on there. Well, were you gonna say something else?
So they started working on it between 82 and 83. So they ended up leaving due to creative differences with the American producers, you know.
Makes sense. There's something I was gonna say. Shit. Oh well, maybe it'll come to me after. But anyways, so good introduction to this one.
Also, a little trivia here. I just reading here that I guess there's a major character that they left out in this movie, the imp,
Yeah, I did see
which
that.
I haven't seen any pictures of it, but apparently it's a outdated racial caricature.
Yeah, I did see that. And that's what I was going to bring up actually. So I watched this on Prime. I'm assuming you watched it on Prime as well. And that's kind of where I got fucked up because IMDb had it as 1989, but then Prime had it as 1992. So the Prime version is also longer than what IMDb says it is.
Oh, really?
So whenever they originally released it in America, they had to cut out a bunch of scenes in order to keep it as a G rating in America. So kids like were more apt to go see it. But the version that we watched on Prime is actually the re-released version with all those scenes added back into it.
Oh, okay.
So good to know we saw the full movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I guess like a lot of the scary stuff, they kind of took a lot of that, they dialed it back a little bit, and they extended like the dancing scene and some other stuff. Anyways, before we talk about this
Okay.
too much more, we'll kick off our news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
Still working on my Coors Light.
I'm drinking another one of those Founders vodka mules that I drank last week.
Nice.
There's another one in the fridge, so. Right, what's your last four watched?
Last four watched.
Sidebar, I saw Evan watch the new scary movie and he gave it half a star.
Oh, did he? Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
Well, speaking of shitty movies, I watched The Strangers Chapter 3. Yeah, I mean, it's just this what makes The Strangers the original one so good is like just they, you know, they say like, oh, we did this just because you were home, but like in this third chapter, like they keep saying the same thing. It's like, why are you doing this? And it's like, oh, because you were here. It's like it lost its that
Yeah.
feeling.
Because throughout this trilogy, they've chased them fucking all over the place.
Yeah, and this third one just is so fucking dumb, man.
Yeah.
And it's so predictable too of who the main guy is. It's absolutely, yeah, it's crazy. Watched High Train and Dragon Hidden World. Watched that with Fam Jam. I watched Mortal Kombat 2. It's on Crave. Give it 2.5. It's not great, but it's definitely a lot of fun. Like I gotta pick up both of the Mortal Kombats on 4K. And then finally, I watched No Other Choice. It's Park Chan-wook's newest movie from last
Oh,
year,
right. Okay.
who did Old Boy and Handmaiden. Yeah, really good movie, man. Yeah, definitely recommend checking it out for sure. That's
Sweet.
pretty much it.
Nice. Where am I here? There it is. Oh, that's not what I want. It's too busy listening to you. I didn't get myself set up. All right. I watched Brightwood, which came up on a video on TikTok of, I can't remember what the page was, but anyways, it was a woman and it was three or five movies that looked like they would be bad but were actually really good. And this was on that list, so I was like, oh shit, I'll check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking absolute micro budget. It looks like they filmed it on like $1,000.
Yeah.
And like it wasn't bad, it just, I don't know. It wasn't like, I don't think it deserved to be on that list personally, but
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a fan of found footage and like shoestring budgets, it might be up your alley. It wasn't terrible, but watch Backrooms. Definitely recommend it. Was fucking great. Really
Okay.
creepy imagery. It really played into the YouTube web series.
Okay.
Same director too, so makes
Yeah.
sense.
Have you seen his web series?
I've watched bits and pieces of it. Like I haven't watched it from start to
Okay.
finish, but I definitely want to now after watching this movie.
Yeah, 'cause my buddy at work, like he has watched all of his shit before this movie, and
Yeah.
he hated the movie, just 'cause he says that they changed a lot compared and left people
Okay.
out and stuff like that. So yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Kind of waiting a bit, but
Yeah.
yeah.
And then Bobby did a watch party on Friday, and we watched Frequency.
Nice.
That's a great movie. I haven't watched it in a really long time, but happy I joined in on that. And then lastly, I rewatched Obsession with the commentary track, and I gave it 4.5 stars on my first watch. I gave it 5 stars on this one. It's just like hearing Curry Barker talk about the process and like what he, like how he was getting hints and tips from veteran directors and like, you know, you shouldn't do this, but you should do this and like just stuff like that. And he really took all that stuff into consideration with making this movie. And I think like as a young director, being able to take those criticisms and whatnot and like actually building on them, I think he did a really good job, and I think that's something that he should be commended for, because he could have just been like, fuck you, I'm doing this the way I want to do it. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what he comes up with. Well, I know he's doing Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but any other originals that he does. My only gripe with it, with the commentary, I was talking to you about it, is like what makes the movie so good is Indy Navarette's performance, and during some of her best and biggest scenes in the movie, he's talking over it, and I was just like, oh no, like let her do her shit and then talk, but
Yeah.
whatever. All right, for news, Evil Dead Burn heads to digital in August, and we're getting a physical media release in September. So that's something to look forward to. We got a teaser from Mike Flanagan's Carrie this week.
Okay.
Christopher Landon is going to be directing Grady Hendrix's Final Girl Support Group, the movie. So you've read that, I think, right?
I think I did read that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it, but I haven't read it yet. Actually, I think I have your copy of it.
Probably. I don't think I liked it that
Yeah.
much.
But I don't know. He directed like Freaky and Happy Death Day, and I don't know, he's had some fun movies. What else? Apparently, we're getting a Conjuring prequel. I didn't hear about this until right now.
Okay.
It's called First Communion. Evil, or sorry, Resident Evil Requiem surpasses 8 million units sold, which makes it the highest selling game in the franchise.
Damn. All right.
Yeah. And lastly, so we're recording on a Wednesday, but last Friday, July 24th, we got five new horror movies that were released. Just waiting for this link to open up. There we go. So Her Private Hell is now playing in theaters, and it stars Sophie Thatcher. She's been killing
I've
it lately.
heard mixed reviews on this,
Yeah.
because it's our boy, Nicholas
Winding Refn.
London Refn.
Yeah.
And I've heard people have walked out of this movie. It has that typical Refn cinematography and coloring and stuff like that, but
Yeah.
he directs very weird shit, so
Yeah.
but I'm still definitely gonna watch it.
Yeah, I won't watch it in theaters, but
No.
Michael Mann's adaptation of Red Dragon, so Manhunter, it has received a new 4K restoration in celebration of the film's 40th anniversary.
Okay.
So that's out now. We have our next movie in the Pooniverse, so Pinocchio Unstrung. It's out in theaters. Stars Richard Brake and Robert Englund.
Yes.
Danny Trejo stars in an indie horror movie called Accursed, and it released on digital on Friday. And lastly, we have Cruel Hands. It released on digital as well, and it was directed by Al Kalik. I haven't heard anything about this one, maybe worth checking out.
Maybe.
Don't know. That's all I have for news.
For 4Ks, we got Tornado. Not sure what that is. Devil Wears Prada 2. Pressure.
Really want to see Pressure.
Mortal Kombat 2. Steelbook.
I gotta get the Steelbook to go with my Mortal Kombat Steelbook.
Yeah, you do. Oh, it's sold out, sorry.
Shit. We'll see what Grove says.
Yeah. I got Pillow Talk, The Boys in the Band, Night Watch. Pretty sick cast, actually.
Yeah.
We got Human Lanterns. That's a sick ass fucking cover.
That's actually really cool, yeah.
We got Macabre, Macabre, however you say that. Explorers, The Mangler, Come Back to the Five, and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. Okay, interesting. In the Mouth of Madness, rest in peace, Sam Neill. Miss 45, Deadly Blessing, King Creole, Elvis Presley, Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody
Oh
Affair,
shit. Did you grab that?
the standard edition, the fucking limited edition, sick though.
That steelbook is really cool. Is it steelbook?
I don't think so. Just a slip cover, probably. We got Overlord, Steelbook, which looks exactly the same as the regular
Yeah, it
one.
does. 'Cause I yeah.
I think
I
so.
have that. I think, well, here.
Mine's different. Mine doesn't have the face on it.
Oh, yeah, true. That picture looks really familiar, though.
It does. Anyway. We got South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut Steelbook. We got A Bay of Blood, The War Game,
You go for the whole month again.
Threads. No, I'm not.
This is a fucking busy week. Holy shit.
End of Watch, Soylent Green, and Lionheart.
Sick.
I feel like they save all the weird fucking horror movies to like the last day of the month.
Yeah. I kind of want to
July,
add
July
those three to
28th.
my watch list.
Which one? Fucking Human
Human
Lanterns.
Lanterns, Macabre, Explorers.
Yeah. I guess I'd stop sharing my screen.
Mangler's sick. That's a good movie. All right. Ready to dive into Dreamland and talk about this movie? Or Slumberland, sorry.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Little Nemo Adventures in Slumberland from 1989/1992. Starting off with the synopsis. Each night, young Nemo goes to Slumberland and has adventures and befriends the king of Slumberland, Morpheus. But one night, Nemo discovers Nightmareland and the evil Nightmare King, throwing Slumberland and Nemo himself into danger. This has two directors. So the first is Masami Hata, who has directed some Hello Kitty episodes, some Super Mario TV shows episodes, like the animated ones. And then he had like a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't really recognize, but and then William T. Hertz. So he directed The Bullwinkle Show, George of the Jungle animated show from the 60s or 70s, and Bionic Six. And this movie was his last directing credit.
Okay.
Some additional people, Chris Columbus and Ray Bradbury helped write it for the American audiences, which is kind of crazy.
And another person had his hands on it as well, but he ended up leaving as well. Brad Bird as well.
Oh, really? That's wild. Like, for the names that are attached to this movie, it's crazy that it didn't have more popularity. I mean, I guess Chris Columbus was kind of like just starting out back then, but I mean, he did. Like, when was Home Alone? Had to have been a.
91.
Yeah, so you'd think this would have gained some more popularity just based off Home Alone. But anyways, the cast, we have Gabriel Damon, who plays Nemo. Mickey Rooney plays Flip.
Man, I just gotta say, like, Mickey Rooney is a fucking legend, man. Like, so many voices that I remember him doing. But he was a busy guy, man. He had 343 acting credits.
Yeah, he did. And like
What
they're
was
not all.
was he the one that did that fuck. What was that one about a chicken?
Chicken Run?
No, from like the late 80s, 90s. I remember there was like a there was a farm and I'm pretty sure he did the
Oh,
voice of like a chicken or
the
something or a
rooster.
rooster. Yeah. Was that
Oh my
him?
God, I fucking love that movie. What is that called? Rock-a-doodle?
Maybe,
That one?
probably. Oh, he did the voice of Todd on The Fox and the Hound too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Anyway, continue.
Next, we have Renee Auberjonois, who played Professor Genius. And lastly, Bernard Erhard, who played King Morpheus. And whenever he first introduced himself, I was like, why did they go with Morpheus? And apparently, that is the Greek god of dreams.
Oh, okay.
So it makes sense why he's King Morpheus.
Did not know that.
I have one honorable mention.
Okay.
I don't know who the character was. It says Paige. I don't know who that character is. But anyways, Paige was voiced by Nancy Cartwright, who
Yes, I did
voices
see that when I
Bart
was looking
Simpson.
through it. Page, yeah, I don't remember. Well, there's two pages actually.
Sir?
Yeah, we have for Nancy Cartwright, there's another person who plays Page.
If we can Google it. Page, little page character. Ah, just keeps talking about the movie itself. Weird. Anyways, that's all I have. I don't know if you had anybody else.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive in.
Let's do it. Did either of your kids watch this with you?
No, so Brady and Hunter went to Sarah's grandmother's for a sleepover last night, and then they went and saw Toy Story 5 today.
Jealous.
So, yeah, me too. So I watched a bit of it last night, and then I finished it off tonight. So,
Nice. Nice.
but I don't know if they would watch it. They might.
Yeah, it's
They're.
kind of tough one because it's like, I don't know, it feels like childish, but like not really. I don't know. It's kind of
Yeah.
like,
It's a cartoon from our era, right? Like cartoons now are so different. Like they're brighter, they're
yeah.
flashier, they're louder. It gets the kids' attention more. And like it's somewhat to a detriment of the kids, but it's just like I've tried to get them to watch like the old Ninja Turtles and shit like that, and it just doesn't capture their attention as much because it's not as bright and flashy, I think.
So like I already mentioned, this is based on a comic strip. Opens up right away, get a banger ass on right in the opening credits. Just gets run into the action. Nemo's sleeping. We see his bed getting carried away. I love this whole opening scene. The animation is awesome. It kind of reminds me of like Akira and those movies from back in the day, like the old Japanese animation. He's just in this dream state and he's on his bed and he ends up in like this city in the sky, and then it like stops and he ends up like falling down in this building and this train's chasing him, and it's like this crazy nightmare sequence that just comes out of nowhere.
That train scene was actually, I mean, I don't know. As a kid watching it, they would probably get your blood pumping a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's like trying to get away from it, gets like in the water, and then the train still coming, and his like bed ends up breaking, and then he wakes up out of his dream. Ends up like in his house and his mom not listening to him, then the train's still coming, and it's pretty intense.
Yeah. I thought she was going to turn around and she's going to have like a fucked up face or something like that.
Yeah, or like no face or something like that.
Yeah. Like a Coraline type thing.
The next day, we meet his little pal Icarus, who is a flying squirrel. He wants they go and go into the parade, and you see a few of the characters in this parade that he meets in Slumberland later on. And he wants to go to the circus. His dad won't take him because he's off doing his own thing. And then we see him pretending to sleepwalk, and he goes and gets a pie, and his mom stops him. I tell him like, "Oh, you gotta stop doing that." Blah blah blah. So a few interpretations that I read up on about this movie. So one of them is so the sublimation of guilt. Nemo's forbidden opening of the royal door to Nightmare Land mirrors his wakened disobedience, such as sneaking food, framing the Nightmare King as an externalized manifestation of juvenile guilt and anxiety over breaking parental rules. So,
I 100% see that. And even like with the parade thing too, because they say in your dreams, like your brain can't manifest faces that it's never seen before.
exactly.
So any face that you see in a dream, it's someone that you've seen before, or like an interpretation of someone that you've already seen before. So I really like how we had this preface with the parade, and where he's getting all these like big extravagant characters from, and it's all from this circus parade, and he just kind of inserts them into this Slumberland setting. I just thought it was really cool how they did that.
Exactly. And yeah, it's curious because like when kids are doing bad things, it's almost like they're not thinking like in the moment a little bit. But that's interesting that like his dreams are a way of like kind of feeling bad about what he did.
Because like kids generally know right from wrong, but they're still going to test the waters anyways. Like Hunter is a prime example of this. Like he knows what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, but he'll still test our patience and I don't know, dip his toes in and just kind of like fuck around a little bit. And so I don't know much about like the whole dream state, like in real life, but
So he's in bed again, and all of a sudden we get these creepy ass gestures that come in. They kind of look like the guards from like Alice in Wonderland. And we meet Professor Genius. And he is here to take Nemo to Slumberland, where King Morpheus is the king of Slumberland. And they're gonna basically make him prince of Slumberland.
Which is just such a childhood thing, right? Like, because there's no reason for them to make him prince. Like, it's
No,
just
it
they're.
makes like I was questioning it like during the movie. I was like, why did they make this random kid fucking prince? But then it's like, oh, it's his dream that he's making up.
It's just such a childhood dream of being a prince or a king or something like that.
And like all the stuff in his dream that he does like bad or like fucks up, like whenever you dream of something like similar that like something you did or not supposed to, like sometimes I'll wake up and remember that I did something and then I'm like freaking out like, oh, I'm gonna do that in real life, or did this happen, like fucking like quit my job or like leave my kids or something like that,
Your mind really plays tricks on you.
does. So Camille sent him a present. They are flying in. I've never heard of this before. Dirigible.
Yeah, I had to look that up.
It's kind of like a blimp, kind of, but has like passengers like underneath it. I don't
It
know.
almost looks like a ship underneath it, but it's a blimp balloon kind of thing. But Camille is the princess of Slumberland.
So he's taken up to like the where you can drive it, and like the captain's like, oh, you want to give it a try? And like Nemo's such a little shit in his fucking dreams, man. He's just like spinning the wheel like super fucking hard, and then the fucking nightmare cloud comes up and you see like the red eyes and in the clouds, and the captain's like, oh, don't worry, I've flown through worse before. And they find like a crystal cloud, which he says is safe. So they end up getting there, and then they make it to Slumberland. And we meet Flip, who is, I don't know, who do you think Flip kind of represents? Like the devil on the sh on his shoulder kind of thing?
Because I feel like Professor Genius is kind of like his good, like his angel, whereas Flip is like the flip side of that, right? It's it's like the good versus wrong kind of thing, or right versus wrong.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if this is not accurate, but like when he first meets Flip, Flip first pulls out the bad map of Nightmareland. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I have that. Here, there's Slumberland. Like, I feel like it's kind of like someone like pulling out like, oh, here's candy. Oh, no, you don't want that. Here's like a banana or something.
Like piques his
Like
curiosity.
teasing the kid to make the wrong decision.
And like Flip's always smoking a cigar, like he's just doing mischievous things that that Nemo shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, because he's like kind of pretending to be Nemo's friend, but really he's just causing shit. And yeah. Another thing that I read up here was the illusion of control. So Slumberland operates on rigid hierarchical, I can't say that word, rules enforced by King Morpheus, where Nemo's attempts at agency or rebellion, often abetted by Flip, consistently destabilize the dreamscape, implying that child cannot truly escape or master the dream world without waking. So it's like almost in dreams, like whenever you're like kind of like creating somewhere you've seen, and then you're kind of like getting too far in the dream, and then you're like, there's no more for you to kind of make, you know?
There's nothing worse than fucking waking up in the middle of a good dream, but it's almost like your subconscious just flips a switch. It's just like, you're not having this one anymore.
So he makes it to this kind of model train room where he meets King Morpheus, although he doesn't know it's King Morpheus yet because he's just dressed like a fucking train conductor. They're driving around the castle, they crash into Genius, and then he says that he's King Morpheus, but you can call me Morphy. And then
Never called him that again in the movie.
he didn't know. No.
No.
He then gives a key to Nemo and says that this will open any key in the castle, but never open the door that with this symbol. Which I feel like, I don't know, he shouldn't have said that. Like, I feel like it's just, like I said before with Flip, it's just kind of teasing his instincts or stuff, right?
And it goes back to the conversation before too. Like, as a kid, you know you're not supposed to do that, but you're gonna try it anyways because we have this thing. And like, it was like us with horror movies as kids. Like, we knew that we weren't supposed to watch them, but we're still gonna sneak down at night and fucking put one on, right? Like, whether it gives us nightmares for the rest of our lives, or like we just have to test it out ourselves because we know that we're not supposed to. And in our brain, it's like there's obviously something cool there that they don't want me to see, or like, I don't know, something different.
So there's a little kind of montage. We see Camille driving around Slumberland with Nemo. They're meeting like a bunch of teachers because they're about to have his coronation to make him prince. And there's all these like different teachers, these creepy butlers who like kind of look like monkeys a little bit. I
Yeah,
don't
what the
know.
fuck was up with those? With their
I
noses?
don't
Like
know.
a, yeah, they were weird.
Yeah, there's like a dancing teacher with big boobs,
Yeah.
fucking sword guy, and
Yeah, it's just so many things that he had to learn in like a fucking 45-second scene.
exactly.
Like, he went from the dancing to the fencing to the eating properly.
And then Flip, he meets up with Flip, and Flip takes him on this kind of adventure around. Flip takes him to the police station where all the cops are start sleeping, and then you see a poster of like wanted, and it's Flip. So it's like, oh, this guy's trouble, man.
Bad news.
So he kind of fucks with the police officers running away from the police officers, taking Nemo around with them. They get on a bird, fly away. He ends up messing with like orchestra. There's like some dinosaur there, which was that one of the balloons at the parade?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I don't remember, but
Yeah, it might have been.
he sets all the fireworks off, and then they end up in some underground dungeon where they find the band door that they're not supposed to open. And immediately Flip is like, "Hey, let's open the door." And then Nemo's like, as a kid, he's like, "Well, I don't know." And Flip is just like, "Oh, one peek," and he convinces Nemo to open the door. And they open the door, and there's this fucking weird ass goo with like eyes and stuff, and they end up closing the door, and then Flip just fucking leaves the kid.
Takes off.
So he leaves. Coronation is about to begin. And the job of King Morpheus and of the prince is to protect Slumberland from the Nightmare King. He gets the royal scepter from Morphe, and then he says, you know, only this can keep the Nightmare King away. And everyone's like kind of complaining, like, well, this kid's so young. And then Morphe says, like, well, he's not going to get it until he gains wisdom and strength. And like, your job is to protect the key. And then he was like,
First
ah,
day.
he's like, ah, fuck it. He already fucked up. So yeah, everybody's dancing, have a good time. And then you see the door open up and the Nightmare King escapes out of there. And it's all this like black goo. Comes in, grabs Morphe and kind of like wraps the goo around him. And yeah, Morphe's gone, man.
Yeah, and he yells to Nemo to throw him the scepter, but Nemo can't get to him in time. Is it now? Like he takes Camille and the professor too right now, right?
Yeah, but before that, fucking everyone's like, oh, like who opened the door? And then fucking Flip is like, ah, oh, Nemo did it. It's like, you fucking traitor, man.
Yeah. And they're going back and forth, but like all the palace people, they blame Nemo because he was the one that actually had the key.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that, yeah, Nemo wakes up from the dream. He's in his bed, but he still has the royal scepter. And he can hear Morpheus calling his name. And then all of a sudden, this water comes rushing in. He's on some lake in the middle of nowhere. He ends up finding Professor Genius. And then they're going back to Slumberland to look for the king.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they don't get them until the bats come. That's right.
They're about to fucking fire off Flip into space with a cannon. And then Nemo's like, no, like, stop it. Like, Camille's about to shoot him. And then he's like, no, stop. He's like, we got to go get Morpheus. And Flip's the only one who knows where how to get around the Nightmare Land because he has the maps. So they stop him from being shot. Yeah, they end up making it to Nightmare Land. Flip is trying to draw the map, and we meet these, like, they kind of look like raccoons at first, but then we find out that they're goblins. Names, what was, like,
Oh man, they're
Oompies?
like oompa,
Yeah.
and yeah, there's
So weird, yeah.
yeah.
So they say that they're good goblins, and they can turn into like different things, like trees, and they can like morph into each other and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
A lot different than the goblins in our last movie.
Yeah, then we see all these giant bats coming for them. Flip gets taken, and then Nemo's kind of using the scepter a little bit, but doesn't know like the words.
Yeah, 'cause there's like a full incantation. He can only remember like two words
Yeah,
from
it's
it.
like pajama, kazama, a bunch of like numbers
Yeah.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He ends up back in his room with the goblin still. He ends up going back to the Nightmare Castle. Yeah, they hit a barrier, they go underneath, because Flip knows where to go. And there's something weird. I don't know if, I don't think it was what they're intending, but I don't know if it was Flip or one of the goblins made a very racial salute, it looked like.
Oh, really? I missed that.
I don't know if that was intending, but it was weird. I don't know.
Like the fucking SS salute? Okay. Yeah, no, I missed that.
So what did you think of the Nightmare King in his like real form?
I thought he was cool, man. Like he kind of looks like a devil mixed with like a bat. He kind of looks like another villain. I can't remember who it is.
I
Some
like his
guy.
voice. I like the voice of him.
Yeah. I can't remember who voiced him either. Yeah, because I don't think I had, no, I didn't have him written down. I think it was the Black Cauldron, the villain from that, maybe. Was there a monster in that movie? I
Maybe.
can't remember.
I can't
But
remember either.
yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a cool thing. Like it's a typical scary villain that you would kind of think up as a kid. He's got horns on his head. He's got all these bat minion things. I don't know. He's kind of cool.
So you might like this actually. So the guy that voiced Nightmare King, he voiced Shredder in the 94, 96 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
Oh
TV
shit.
show.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, I think he was cool too. Like whenever he was like talking with like the bats, and the one bat is like freaking out, and he's like, "Oh,
Yeah.
the scepter's here," and then like the Nightmare King is not worried about it at all.
Well, because
Yes.
the bat, well, it doesn't lie to him, but he says like we took care of them, like because he thought that they actually did. And then all of a sudden, this flying stingray, which is fucking
Oh
cool,
yeah.
he flies up to the king and he tells him like they're here and they have the scepter. And the king's like, the Nightmare King's like, Nemo's here and he has the scepter, and then just fucking annihilates the bat guy.
Yeah, so he has Flip the Princess and Genius. He also has King Morpheus and these like crystal things. Yeah, I thought the him fighting the Stingray was fucking awesome because he's like flying around the bed with like this giant goblin that's like holding all of them together. And then he's like trying to say the incantation, and like he ends up cutting off one of the Stingray's fucking fins. And yeah, it's really cool, I thought actually.
It was good.
Who was Icarus? That was his
The man,
squirrel,
the
right?
squirrel, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, the squirrel almost ends up flying off the fucking bed. He's trying to hold the incantation like paper there. But of course, Nemo beats the Nightmare King with the final incantation. He's become the prince and ends up leaving. And then we see Flip with the fucking giant ass cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, man. So before he becomes the prince, because previously, whenever their plan is to go and get or to kill the Nightmare King with the scepter, Icarus is freaking out because if Nemo says the entire incantation, he'll die. So he does actually die after he kills the Nightmare King. But then Morpheus comes and sit like. Revives him, I guess, with the scepter. And then whenever he wakes up, he's like, oh, I made a big mistake. And like, I'm the one that opened the door and it's all my fault. And it's like, it's kind of like a really good learning experience for Nemo because the king's like, at first you can tell he's kind of disappointed, but then he's like, your bravery in coming and like fixing what you did, is what is now awarding you with being a prince. So it's like telling kids like you can make mistakes, but as long as you own up to it and like do what you can to fix it, like it's just gonna be a learning experience and you're probably not gonna get in as much trouble as you would if you lied about it.
Yeah, exactly. Couple of things that I read here. So, analysis of Windsor and McKay's original framing and animated adaptation suggests that the bed acts as a liminal anchor. Falling out of the bed or being forced awake emphasizes that the safety of home is perpetually disrupted by the intrusion of subconscious fears.
Okay. Yeah, because that train nightmare that he has at the very beginning, whenever he wakes up, he's on the floor and his toy train is right in front of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other kind of interesting theory here. So, obviously, with the film's famously troubled production history, which passed through the hands of multiple people, led critics to view the disjointed narrative structure as an intentional reflection of actual erratic dream mechanics.
Okay,
Which,
which makes
I mean, makes
sense.
sense, but I don't know if it was intentional, but.
Yeah. It just maybe they got lucky and it worked out that way.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Do you have anything else?
Well, I like to because at the end of the movie, Nemo wakes up, he's in his own bed, and he's actually awake this time. Because I feel like all those other awakenings, they were like dreams within dreams kind of thing. He's actually awake. His mom comes in and like she brings him breakfast in bed, and he apologizes to her about the pies. And then his dad comes to the doorway and he's like, "Get up, Nemo, like we're going to the circus, like you want us to go." And he's like getting ready and whatnot. So it's just, I don't know, kind of a nice way to end it. Just, I don't know, again, with the whole just admitting you're wrong and apologizing for it. And it can kind of turn the tide on things. Yeah.
Cool. Kind of reminds me, now I'm thinking about it, of Jumanji.
Okay, yeah.
You know, because like me in the movie, his dad is kind of similar to this character, like always gone, doesn't really give him attention, and then
Yeah.
he gets pissed off, and then he's not in a dream, but he's basically stuck in a dream, right? At the end of the
Yeah.
movie, he apologizes to his dad and stuff like that. So,
Yeah. That's fair.
cool. Alrighty, well, that's the way. I don't know. I don't got anything on this one.
There's no blood, so.
No, there's not.
All right. We'll just let it go.
Yeah.
Think of a good one for next week.
Yeah.
Right. How'd you rate this movie?
This was tough. I wrote down my score with a question mark because I don't know.
Okay.
I went 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Might drop it to a 2.5. I don't know. Like,
Okay.
I think I'll keep it at 3 just because like with their conversation, it kind of like did open it up. Like, honestly, I had no idea what kind of conversation and how long this episode would be, to be honest, but I don't know, I feel like it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love the animation style. I think the voice acting is really good. Before talking about it, I didn't really get the story and all that stuff, but after talking about it and like all the little things that with the dreams and kids and all that, like I think it's a really good representation of dreams and how kids see things. So
Yeah.
yeah, and like I wish we got more of the Nightmare Land and Nightmare Kane
Yeah.
stuff, to be honest,
Because we don't get
but
that until like
no.
last 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, from this movie is only like 1 hour and 20 minutes, I think, maybe a bit longer.
It's an hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, so but anyway, so yeah, 3 out of 5.
All
How
right.
about you?
I give this a 3.5.
Okay, nice.
I love this animation style. I think it's a great callback to the animation that we used to watch as kids.
Yeah.
Like it was cleaner than Disney's animation, but like it still had kind of like a whimsical feel to it. And like you mentioned, like the voice acting was done really well. Every character brought something to the table. Like it didn't feel like there was any character that really didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
And yeah, like just the whole interpretation of the dreams and how it coincides with real life and the choices that he was making in real life, how he kind of brought it into the dreams with him and different meanings. And I like the stuff that you brought to the table too with all the different interpretations. So yeah, I'm happy with a 3.5 score. I don't like I will never watch this again on my own,
Yeah,
but
probably
like
safe to be.
I might sit down with the kids sometime and watch it. Before they get too old, but I just see if they enjoy it. But I don't know. It's a, I don't know, kind of a feel good movie with some good lessons to learn, I think. And it's kind of a shame that this movie didn't take off more than it did.
No,
'Cause I
yeah.
don't know, I feel like it could have been a good 90s movie for kids to watch.
I mean, I watched it, but you know.
Yeah, maybe I did. I don't know.
All
Right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus, despite a creative team and source material that should be any animation fan's fantasy, uneven craft and an inert story keep Little Nemo from being a proper dream come true. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll do like a 77.
You are way too high, sir. 55%.
Wow, okay. How many
Yeah.
critics reviews?
That's only 29. And it's an average rating of 5.8 out of 10.
Okay.
The audience, however, gave it an 84%
Wow.
on 10,000 ratings and an average score of 4.1 out of 5 or an 8.2 out of 10.
Damn, it's pretty good.
So that's quite the difference.
Yeah.
And like you and I were kind of in between both of those, so
Yeah.
works out.
So Little Nemo on Letterboxd is a 3.5 out of 5. Has only 17,000 watches. And not many people, my friends that have watched this, our boy Anthony has watched it. He gave it a 3.5 as well.
Okay. All
That's it.
right.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
All right. This was your movie, so I get to do our list. We're gonna change it up this week. Normally, well, I mean, lately we've done a top five ranking, blind ranking. Tonight, we're gonna do dark animated movie villains. So these are villains that whenever, because like there's villains in almost every animated movie, but this theme are the type of villains that whenever they walk into a room, it feels like they just suck all the light out of the room.
Okay.
They have that aura. But
Yeah.
we're going to be doing a spooky versus kooky.
Yeah.
So whether or not the villain is actually spooky or whether
Okay.
they're just like, meh, whatever. Like, you're a little bitch.
So I'm not ranking these, I'm just going spooky or kooky.
Yeah, so there's going to be five for each list.
Okay, so is
There's
Kooky bad then?
Kooky is like, you're not as scary as you think you are.
Okay.
So there's 10 of them that we're going to go through.
Okay.
And we're going to kick it off with the Nightmare King.
See, that's tough. Because as a kid, it scared me. That's why I picked this movie, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll say spooky.
Okay, that's fair. Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but she is pretty creepy. This is gonna be a tough list, I just
I
know.
think it might be.
I'll go kooky.
Okay. I know you just recently watched this movie, Professor Screw Eyes from We're Back.
Oh, spooky. He is fucked.
We got a guy at work. He's like a manager on the other side of the building,
Yeah.
and I call him Professor Screw Eyes because, like, man, he walks around just like Screw Eyes. He's really tall and skinny. I'm
Yeah.
just like, oh man, you are like. Hades from Hercules.
He's kooky. I love him, but yeah.
Yeah. Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty.
Again, I haven't seen this movie like since I was a bait kid, probably. I'll say spooky.
Okay. Scar from The Lion King.
See, he's not that scary to me. Plus, his fucking henchmen, kind of similar to Ursula, like are just like goofy side characters. I'll go kooky.
Okay. Sorry, just give me a sec. I'm just writing down. So you had Screw Eyes, a spooky Hades, kooky. What'd you put Maleficent at?
Spooky.
Spooky? Yeah.
Okay, so I
Scar
got
is kooky.
three spookies.
You got three spookies and three kookies. There's four more. The evil queen from Snow White.
I'll say spooky because when she's a witch, she's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. All right. The newest movie on the list, Death from Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
Ooh, I just watched that too.
Yeah.
I still got like two more.
You got this one and then two more.
And I have one spooky left and two kookies. See, I feel like you're saving a good one for last. I'll go kooky.
Okay. Jafar from Aladdin.
He is fucking spooky, man. Like, he is just a fucking creep, man.
He seems like a rapist. Like,
Seriously, yeah. Like,
I
I rewatched like Aladdin a few years ago, I think, and
Yeah.
it's like the innuendos and
Yeah.
He wants Jasmine, who's like 14 years old. It's like, okay, man, what the fuck?
So a spooky for Jafar.
Yeah.
All right, so you have all your spookies now. So that means your last kooky, and I think you'll be okay with it, but I think maybe not. I'm not sure. It's a character that you love from a movie that you love. And it's Oogie Boogie from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
He's definitely kooky for
Yeah,
sure.
I figured
Yeah.
you'd be all right with that. So for your spookies, you have Nightmare King, Professor Screw Eyes, Maleficent, the Evil Queen, and Jafar. For Kooky, you have Ursula, Hades, Scar, Death from Puss in Boots, and then Oogie Boogie.
Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I think I
There's.
might change maybe the Evil Queen for Death, maybe, but
Yeah.
not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. All right. Did we continue calling this a scare section? What do we call this? Childhood trauma? I don't fucking know. Anyways, scare section. You ready for
Yeah.
it? All right. As an adult, how did you rate this for its scares?
I'd say like a two, maybe.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty, I'm being generous, I think, with that. Definitely not that scary at all. Like the fucking goblins are kind of creepy that he meets. And Nightmare King is kind of spooky a little bit, but yeah, not
Yeah.
really that scary. Yeah. What's the next one?
Scariest character.
I'm trying not to think of like the obvious one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can't think right now.
So, like, we have the Nightmare King, we have the bats, we have the
Yeah.
Stingray.
Stingray is pretty fucking cool. He's not really scary. I'll just go with the Nightmare King, like his real form, not his like goo fog form.
Yeah, that's fair. I can't remember what the last one. I should have fucking listened to the episode because I didn't have it written down in my notes. But it was the Childhood Trauma Index or something.
Is like on a scale of 1 to 10 or something.
Yeah, see if I can find it.
We're really good at
Yeah,
this.
I know. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to our Labyrinth episode, like
No,
just
I
that
can find
part.
it. Hold on.
Did you have it in your notes?
No, I'll search our conversation.
Oh, yeah, true. We can do that now.
Yeah. 1 to 10 rating how traumatic it would be for a child.
Right. Yes.
So I did watch this as a child, and I remember the fucking gooey fog shit from when I was a kid. So obviously it traumatized me, but watching it now, like I don't know, man. Like I'll say a six.
Yeah, okay.
Although I think like this movie is like from doing all the research, I think like this is higher up for a lot of other people, I think. But yeah, I'll say a six for me.
All right, that's fair. All right, for me as an adult, I gave it a 1 out of 10. Like, I just didn't find it scary or creepy. Like, I can understand as a child how you would, but even still, like, I think like we had other movies back then, man, that were like thinking of like Ferngully, because I had asked you earlier because I was gonna put Hexus on that list, but if you hadn't watched Ferngully in a while. Because like he was fucking terrifying, and then like Scar was always kind of a little creepy to me, and like a lot of the Disney movies, a lot of the villains in those movies were
Yeah.
kind of upper echelon. I just feel like we had better villains, or like we saw more what they were capable of doing.
Yeah.
Because like quote unquote the horror in this movie doesn't really. Like, we don't see it until the last little bit. We get like maybe 15 minutes of it in this movie.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, it's like happy-go-lucky. Like, they're having parties and they're a circus and they're clowns and
Yeah.
shit. Like, so, yeah. Scariest character. You said the Nightmare King. I'll go with his tendrils because, like, we see them come out of the door and you don't really know what they are. And, like, they have these, like, weird eye glowing things all around them and they're. Just kind of like creeping around and shit and stealing people. So I'll just go with that.
Okay.
And 1 to 10, how traumatic for a child? I'm gonna say like a 3 or a 4 maybe. I think
That's fair.
I just don't think, yeah, like I already said it in my other part. So I think that there was scarier villains while we were
Fair
growing
enough.
up. But I can definitely see how some of the imagery would be scary. Yeah. All right. I'm glad you suggested this. Like, regardless of what we've kind of rated it and how scary it was, it's just, I don't know. I always enjoy finding new movies and watching them. So, and I feel like this one was good. Like, it was actually a good story and whatnot. All right. For my next movie, we're going to do another animated one. And we're going to watch The Secret of Nim. Have you seen this before?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It has a few like animal characters in it,
Yeah, they're
and they're in
mice.
like some desert, and there's some fucking giant ass bird trying to kill them or something like that. Is that this movie?
That this one, or is or are you thinking of The Rescuers?
No.
No, okay, yeah,
They're like hiding. They're
this one.
hiding under, like this bird. Anyway,
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's. I have seen this movie. It was scary as a kid. So good pick.
All right, thank you.
All
All right. In the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at a podcast on Elm Street, and click the link in our bio on Instagram. You'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch, and there's a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thanks for checking out this episode. And like, if you guys have any other movies in this theme, we're not going to cover them, unfortunately, because we already have our schedule planned out for this. But I don't know, we can do it again some other time, or we can just kind of feed it into an episode at some other point. But
Patreon.
yeah, that too. Yeah, I mean, we definitely should pump out more of those episodes. But yeah, I mean, we're both always down to do that shit. So, thanks for listening to this one.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.